Welcome to the Data Morgana podcast, the show in which we explore the future of the internet. I'm your host, Julia Jensen. I'm an artist researching the impact of technology on our society, and I'm a data protection ambassador. Data Morgana is an initiative by Public Spaces, a network of civic society organizations reclaiming the internet as a force for the common good. It's 2025. The internet has fallen into the hands of a few big tech companies. Under the promise to make our world better, more fair and efficient, they collect our data on a massive scale. But does this really make our world a better place? Or is it nothing more than an illusion, a data morgana? In this show, we're looking into hopeful initiatives happening around Europe that are shaping a better digital future. I just had a conversation with Peter Sivengard from Stockholm Data Parks, an initiative by the City of Stockholm, Stockholm Exergi, Elevia and Stokab. This collaboration is powered by a vision, a data center industry where no heat is wasted, and where surplus heat is used as a valuable resource that can be part of fighting climate change. Peter and I spoke about how this project came about and what next steps to take to repurpose data center surplus heat on a much larger scale. So hi, Peter. Welcome to the Data Morgana podcast. In preparation of this show, I did some research on the Stockholm data parks, and it sounds actually super amazing. I'm very excited to hear your story and learn more about how to reuse data center heat. But before we're going to talk about reusing energy, it's maybe good to start with the question, why data centers produce so much heat and why we need to repurpose them?
Yeah. The data center consume a lot of electricity, and that ends up in heat. Because it all ends up in losses, energy losses, and it will be heat. And if you don't do heat recovery, you will just blow the heat out in the surroundings. And so it's basically it's the electricity consumption in the data center that creates the heat.
Mm-hmm. So all the machines and computers within the data centers, they produce a lot of heat, and that is an access to the atmosphere.
Yeah, if you don't have heat recovery.
Yeah.
So what we do when we have heat recovery is to use this heat. It's a water-based system in the data center, and you with a heat pump you deliver the heat to the district heating network. And so it becomes like a small production plant in the district heating network, and it works in the same way as our own production plants, but it's locally based in outside in the district heating network.
How does these plants work?
Yeah, but to start with, the district heating network is a system with water. Mm-hmm. And it has like two pipes, one supply pipe and one return pipe. And what we do, we deliver heat for buildings and offices and things like that. And they use the heat and from the supply pipe, and it will cool it down and send it back to us in the return pipe. So mm-hmm. it's a closed system. So what we do when we have heat recovery from like a data center, they will also connect to the return pipe, take water in and heat it up with the heat recovery, and have a heat pump to raise the temperature a little bit more, and then they send it back in the supply pipe to the district heating network, and then it's the heat is used in to heat up the buildings in the same way as our own production plant.
And is it repurposed to, for example, heat housing within the city, or is it reheating the data center itself?
No, it's houses in the city.
Houses in the city. So it's a network of all kind of neighborhoods that are connected to a certain data center who is heating those houses.
Yeah, so in Stockholm we have a really large district heating network, so it's almost all the city and the suburban areas is also connected. So it's a big system.
And are all data centers within Stockholm connected to this plant?
Not all, but a lot of them. And I would say if they are located close to our network, they are connected. But in some cases, it maybe can be too expensive to connect them.
Okay.
And it depends on the size and where they are located in the network.
Yeah, and why did this originate in Stockholm?
I think it was because we thought it was a good way to take care of heat in the area we are working, and it's like if we can buy heat cheaper than we can produce it ourselves, of course we will buy it, and that's how it started. And it's also a resource efficient way to use to produce heat in the city.
Yeah,
and in a way, losses will be limited. So I think it was a really good way to do it. It was based on it's profitable for both parties.
For both parties,
yeah.
So it's good to fight climate change and also for the financing of city and energy.
Yes. Yeah.
And what is the incentive for data centers to join this plant? No, go ahead.
I think that we pay them for heat to start with, and they also will be more environmental, like it's an advantage on the market for them, of course. And I think also their regulation will be harder in the future for data centers. What they do, and if it's possible to do heat recovery, they should do it. And it's EU regulation will be, I think, over time will be more demanding. And if you can do heat recovery, you have to do it.
So can you tell me a little bit more about the EU regulations and how that, for example, will maybe encourage also cities or data centers to collaborate?
Yeah, because if it's more like a demand that you will have efficient data centers with heat recovery, of course it will happen in a much more frequent than today. And it may be... you have to do that for a license to operate the data center, and of course that could be increase the data centers that use heat recovery.
And do you think that, for example, it is very hard for people to understand what climate impact streaming or using AI has on the planet? Do you think that with projects like this, it's showing also not only solutions but also making the topic more making it more on top of people's mind, creating more consciousness about actually the climate impact of technology, because it's so opaque for people to understand?
I think absolutely, because if you can see how many buildings you can really heat with the excess heat from a data center, of course you understand that okay, I'm a part of this excess heat that it is produced, because when we use IT solutions and IT services, we will consume electricity, and that will end up in losses if we don't have heat recovery.
Yeah.
So I think
right, because I think in the Netherlands and all around Europe there is this big push of there's a fight against citizens and governance and people who are actually trying to work out, yes, you want to use the internet, so we need hyperscalers, we need big data centers, but you know, everybody's saying like, not in my backyard, or the net is so overconsumed, so there's no space for it. But in your case, you're actually trying to attract also, not maybe the hyperscalers, but the smaller data centers to Stockholm to actually repurpose it.
Yeah, and I would say Stockholm Data Park, collaboration between Stockholm Energy, and we provide heat recovery, and we have Ellevio, the grid provider, they provide power connections, and we also have Stokab, who builds dark fiber.
Yeah.
And we have the city of Stockholm that provide long-term leasehold agreements for the sites.
Mm-hmm.
And that we started that collaboration was to actually get international companies to Stockholm.
Yeah.
So it was because when we have talked to all data centers that exist in data center in Stockholm, we find out it was not enough, and we had to have a little bit new data centers and maybe a little bit bigger data centers than the existing ones, but not hyperscale, but bigger than the that we had connect already in.
And how did this started? Was there like a designated data center meant to be part of the future, or how does it started?
It started like a pilot project that we started, and with some actually we wanted to use the heat in a more that are available in the city. So we data center was one part. We also connected like some small industries for process excesses from the industrial processes, and also if they had the overcapacity in production plant, like companies that had their own heat production, we bought the capacity that they didn't need. So it was like a pilot. We connected like a lot of existing companies, and that's how we started it. And so we wanted to build up like an energy market for excess heat in Stockholm.
Yeah. And did you envision also with it to fight climate change or to have more of a financial benefit from it, or how, like, what was the ambition?
From start, it was I think it was the economical value was maybe the most important, but now it's I think we want to, of course we also wanted to reduce the use of fossil fuels, but we have come really long there anyway, but of course this is one part of it. We do a lot of other things, but I think from start it was profitability from both sides, I would say.
Of course.
Yeah.
No, I think it's something to not to be underestimated, because you know we can all be very moral and ethical about how what kind of future we want to live in, but in the end, most people will move for economic reasons to different platforms or make a choice that will benefit their wallet instead of the world, because it's just too either long term or hard to comprehend. So I guess that's actually, if you can combine both economical solutions to fight climate change, I think that's actually a perfect marriage. Do you think climate change is still fightable, or are we too late? Is the world, are we too far down the road?
I think we can do a lot, and Stockholm, Mexico does a lot. We do like we have decided to build like a BECCS, it's called Bioenergy Carbon Capture and Storage. So we'll actually capture CO2 and put it down in the ground from biomass production plants, and that will be the emissions will be less than zero. If it starts from zero, and we do this, so it's, and we will have that up running in 2028.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be, I think, the first big large scale production plant with BECCS in Sweden, and I think it's really good. And we do a lot of, and we of course have other projects to take away fossil fuels and replace them with like bio oil and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's, and, it, yeah, sorry.
No, continue, please.
Yeah, and also the plastic part in waste, we also work with to reduce that, because we have waste incineration in some plants, and so we do a lot. And
Yeah. So that's amazing. So you're taking a lot of action to actually ensure to reduce pollution, to repurpose energy and heat, to make the world maybe a livable place for the future. Where do you see is the balance between the responsibility for people, for example, to be mindful about, either polluting or also making use of the internet and the energy it consumes? And where do you feel like the industry and politics just need to take that real responsibility and make better systems?
I think it's a shared responsibility. Actually, everybody can do something.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it's easy to do like heat recovery if you have some... maybe lower tax for electricity. If you use electricity to a heat pump that to make it possible to have heat recovery from a data center, that could the politicians do to make it happen. So it's easy to do these projects.
Yeah.
So I think, for me and you, of course, we can always reduce the energy we use, and that's good for the environmental impact, of course.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like there is enough attention for the topic? Are people aware?
Yeah, I think it's hard to see what the impact is for. So, and as you mentioned earlier, it should be like you can really do calculations and make it easy to understand the impact you have for like using your computer, whatever.
Yeah,
I think that maybe could be good to increase the knowledge.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Well, there are tools around. I think we also discussed one in the talk show episode, a tool where you can see the climate footprint of, for example, your website use. So I think that of course is a great benefit, but I think also with projects like these, why it's so important also to make them more visible is because people are probably, like if you say like, hey, we need to repurpose this heat, people will, for example, ask the question like, I didn't even know there was excess heat with data centers, or you know, the problems that people have with cooling down the systems or moving them now to, for example, warmer places outside of Europe, for example, within Africa, where it's even hotter and even more difficult to lower the energy that is needed to make them run. So what do you feel like is the future of data centers? Is it repurposing the heat? Is it reducing the energy it consumes? Is it not run on fossil fuel?
I think it's a combination, because they do a lot in the data centers, do a lot to reduce the consumption of heat, of electricity.
Do they really?
Yeah, a lot. Yeah,
okay.
And they have like KPIs for, and they are really working with that to actually reduce the heat, the power use, and it has been a lot of changes in the last years, and also the kind of electricity they buy. It's renewable I would say all companies that we are working with are buying renewable electricity.
Okay.
So, yeah. So
well, that sounds promising.
Yeah. So they do a lot, and the data centers today is really efficient, but they still consume a lot of electricity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And so I think what I can do in the future, of course, it's when it comes to heat recovery, it's to maybe have make it possible to deliver higher temperatures from the data centers, from the cooling, and use the heat directly without the heat pump, and that technology is available today, but it's not used very much.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that could be something in future, and then we'll the heat recovery will be more easier and more cost efficient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there any advice you want to give to cities around Europe, around the world, to take on that challenge? Things that you've learned along the process?
Yeah, I would say maybe they have to look into alternatives like for district heating in much more than they have done before.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe that could be the future for like heat recovery and also changing the production of electricity, and they make it more efficient that mm-hmm. you can use the heat from this production plant also to heat up the cities instead of just producing electricity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so of course, I would say district heating is a fantastic way to distribute energy. And, yeah.
Thank you so much. That's great advice, and I hope people will listen. And I hope there will be a future to fight both climate change and have economic benefits from repurposing heat. Thank you so much, Peter. Pleasure to talk
to you.
Is funded by the European Union. Views and opinions expressed are, however, those of the authors only and do not necessarily reflect those of the European Union or the Directorate General for Communications Network, Content and Technology. Neither the European Union nor the granting authority can be held responsible for them.